If you're a pro, you know that this is not efficient because you know there's a better way. There's also a better way to save. When pro customers buy building supplies in bulk at Lowe's, they save up to 20% every day. Buy in bulk and save up to 20% on concrete, gypsum, and gypsum accessories. At Lowe's, buy more, save more. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Discount applies to contractor pack items. Minimum purchase required, U.S. only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Mariota is a fantastic talent. He's been a great quarterback for them. But their level of consistency hasn't been there. But, you know, I can be sure when I rattle off, I can rattle off Eagles. I can rattle off Saints. I can rattle off Carolina. I can rattle off Atlanta, even though Atlanta has been shaky. I can still rattle them off. I can rattle off Seattle because Seattle and Russell Wilson in tough spots can still do some damage. I can rattle off the Rams, obviously, Minnesota. I can rattle off Detroit because Detroit's been playing people tough. I can rattle off more teams from the NFC on top of my head that can actually make a good run versus, okay, I got the Patriots. I have the Steelers. I mean, the Jaguars exist. I mean, they have the best. I think they have the best record in the AFC South. So I mean, they are number one in the AFC South. The Jackson. Oh my gosh! Okay, hold on, let's sit on that and twist. I don't care how that sounds. Let's sit on that and twist for a second. The Jacksonville Jaguars, folks, I think have the best record in the AFC South. I have to look up the AFC South stand. This is not real. This is not real life. That's coming from a spoiled Colts fan who's been ruling and running that division for so long. Oh, I'm sorry. They're tied at 6-3 with the Tennessee Titans. And I believe more in Jacksonville than I do the Tennessee Titans.
NFC South, AFC South is an enigma. I got to be honest. It's an enigma. I don't even know
what's going on.
What's going on there? I don't know what's going on.
Like, Blake Bortles just beat Blake Bortles. You know, the trash team, Blake Bortles, the trash quarterback. Blake Bortles threw 51 times and won a game. How?
It's crazy.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's crazy.
But, yeah, but you know what? With that being said, we talked about the people who's in the division. Well, gentlemen, with this at the halfway point, the NFL's at the halfway point, pretty much everyone's played their 8 or 9 games at this point. So between Atlanta, New Orleans, and the Carolina, I would have to take the best quarterback in the division, who, in my opinion, even though Matt Ryan had a very, very good year last year, MVP caliber year, I'm going to have to take the guy who throws for 5,000 yards in his sleep. And the guy who's going to be a future Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm going to go with Drew Brees. He's got two things behind him now that I didn't think New Orleans was going to have ever again because, you know, when it came right down to it, I thought Drew Brees was a selfish budget that took all the money away from his team being able to have quality players. But thankfully, his GM knows what he's doing, and they drafted some very, very good players, and they have some backup. I'm taking New Orleans to take this division. I trust New Orleans to finish up and wrap up this division. What about you, Wally?
I'm going with Carolina. Luke Kuechly's back. You know, he's the staple of that defense. I believe their defense is ranked the best in the NFL. So he's back. He's back. You got Cam Newton. They already know what they know who they are. Cam Newton's starting to run the ball a little bit more. They're utilizing McCaffrey a lot more. So they believe in Funches. So I'm gonna go with Carolina. I believe that on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. If you got that defense rocking and have Cam's with Cam's leadership, I don't think anybody in the NFC South can really sustain can really contend to what they really can do as a grind out grindhouse football team.
All right, Jay Chris.
I think Wally changed my mind. I was so set to say New Orleans. I was so ready to say New Orleans. I think I picked Tampa Bay to win it in the beginning of the season. You know, the Falcons, you know, I don't know what they are right now. I mean, they win some, they lose some. It's kind of crazy. I don't know if it's the Super Bowl hangover that I did not expect them to have. But, yeah, with Luke Kuechly back, you know, and see, they traded away Benjamin, which kind of bothers me. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. But Cam Newton, Super Cam and the Newtons, you know, that's my guy. I'm going to go with Wally on this one. I'm going to say Carolina just because two reasons. I don't want the Eagles to have to see Carolina again, honestly. And, you know, and I worry about those Saints. So I'm going to go with the – what I think is the lesser of two evils. I'm going to go with Carolina Panthers to win the NFC South. Carolina.
Yeah, okay. All right, y'all go ahead and pick Carolina. Like, I got to go with the guy who I know is consistent at quarterback. Consistent at playing the quarterback role and not being a consistent great athlete. So that's just me. That's just me and how I think. People are like, man, you forever hating on Cam. Yes, I hate on him and his big head and those stupid hats and that blonde dipped beard. Anyway, but no, all seriousness, NFC West. Does anybody have any disagreement that it's L.A. Rams' division to lose? Because I didn't think they were going to win any new rookie head coach, unproven rookie quarterback who was under a defensive-minded head coach, didn't think that they were going to do half as much as what they've done so far. Is Seattle catching New Orleans? I mean, L.A.? Anyone take that one?
I think with Richard Sherman going down, I think that hurt the chances of that happening. You know, because if you look at, you know, the other DB, I want to say Shaquille, I forgot his last name, but he's a youngster playing in DB position. They just signed Maxwell, and Jay Chris know about Maxwell. Like, he ain't good. I mean, he's only better when you got Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Sherman. Yeah. Now, you know, these guys, they can't roll coverages to either side because they can't trust the other cornerbacks. So that's going to be an issue. You know what I mean? It's going to be an issue. So, I think when you're playing somebody like – when they play St. Louis – I mean, excuse me, L.A., excuse me. When they play L.A. again, they won't have that situation where they can roll coverage to Sammy Watkins Jr. or against the Woods. They got to now play these dudes. They got to play them straight up, and the safety's got to help us. They can't really – they really can't, like, rotate coverages like they want to. And then you got, you know, the kid Cup, the little slot receiver, and we saw Gurley. So I just think there's too many weapons – offensively for that defense to really contain. And on the flip side, again, the St. Louis Rams are L.A. Rams are Wade Phillips is really balling right now. So I just don't think the Seahawks can really catch the Rams at this point.
All right. Okay. I feel that. Jay Chris, anything different? I think the Rams, it's Rams division to lose. They have to literally choke this away. I think that while Russell Wilson is fantastic, the Rams got too much. They don't have Richard Sherman anymore, just like for everything Wally just said. The Rams are taking this division, and they're going to keep it. Do you have any disagreements with that? Anything to add?
Well, I agree with you in saying that this is the Rams' division to lose. I mean, surprisingly, that they're at the top of the division at 7-2, but the Seahawks are only a game behind them at 6-3. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I got to be honest with you guys. I have not seen a glimpse of the Rams yet. I know my Eagles play the Rams later on in a couple weeks, and I'll get to see them then. But I have not seen the Rams yet because, you know, they just weren't a high-profile team. You're just not really going to – unless your team has played them, you're not really going to see them. The Seahawks have always had one of those next-man-up mentalities. You know, I don't know if the Seahawks have to play the Rams again. But I would think No, I got to believe that the Seahawks can beat the Rams. So I think the Seahawks can catch the Rams, especially if my Eagles beat the Rams. My Eagles have to play the Rams and the Seahawks. So, you know, that could cancel each other out. They may lose one of those games. I'm not sure. You know, Richard Sherman going down, the way Carson Wentz can pick apart a defense. You know, maybe it's not that Seahawks game anymore because I didn't give them that game before. I think the Seahawks can catch the Rams. I think it'll probably come down to, like, the last week of the season, and we'll see. But I think the Seahawks can catch the Rams, and I expect them to do so. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think I picked the Seahawks to go to Super Bowl in the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I'm taking the Seahawks to catch the Rams in the NFC West. What you think, Micah? You agreeing with me here, or what you doing, Micah? What you doing?
All I can tell you is that the Seahawks that played the Rams in October is going to be a different. Let's see, they're going to play them again on the 17th of December, and that Rams team now is used to scoring 30 something points per game. Or close to 30-something points per game on defenses that were just as good, if not a little bit better than what Seattle was bringing. So we'll see. I mean, the Rams got a tough test next week on against the Vikings. Another strong defense to play against. They have another test against, and it's their next three games, their next four games, not counting what's going to happen with the Seahawks, is going to be Vikings, Saints, Cardinals, and then your Eagles. So they're going to be playing nonstop good defenses back-to-back for the next 4 weeks. We'll definitely see who they are at the end of this track, because then they're going to wrap up with Seattle. I'm not counting the Titans game or anything as anything special. And then they got the 49ers, which is the 49ers. I mean, they'll be all right. Sean McVay, he definitely may be coach of the year. So, okay, so now let's wrap it up. Well, let's wrap up the NFC with the NFC North. The NFC North. We got, you know, Detroit's doing their thing. Chicago's there. Green Bay is now kind of there. They're still playing hard, but they're kind of there. And then you had the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going Minnesota Vikings. That they're going to win that division. It's kind of like a situation with the Rams. It's kind of like their division to lose, and a really close second is going to be Detroit. I don't see Green Bay really catching up without Aaron Rodgers. But I do see the Detroit Lions, as scrappy as they consistently have been year in, year out under Jim Caldwell. I can see them trying to, you know, catch up to Minnesota. And, hey, Minnesota, what? Oh, you got caught. Oh, no. So I see that happening. But I think it's more so the Minnesota Vikings division to lose. Wally, you're a Minnesota guy. You're cold like Minnesota. You see your boys taking this thing, or are they going to fall to Detroit?
Yeah, I don't think they're getting caught. Like, they're healthy defensively, so now they have all their weapons. They'll be healthy, you know, when they get Detroit. I think Everson Griffin was out. He should be back. This team is potent, man. It is what it is. I mean, you got Thielen in terms of what offensive Thielen, Stephon Diggs. You thought they would be suffering when they're losing Dalvin Cook. And you got Murray. People forget Murray was a good running back in Oakland. So, like, they're a talented team. They're just a talented team. And defensively, they're one of the best defenses in football with Bart. With Barr and Hendricks. So, this team is a deadly team. It really is. A Super Bowl contending defense. And I don't think just because the Packers, because Aaron Rodgers is out for the season, I just think that, you know, Detroit doesn't have enough firepower to even contend to beat the Minnesota Vikings. And they'll slip up here and there. But Minnesota, in terms of talent and the longevity, I just don't see Detroit catching them.
What about you, Jay Chris? See the same things? Minnesota going to get caught?
No, I don't think Minnesota's going to get caught, especially with Aaron Rodgers out for the season. And like Wally said, you know, the Lions just, you know, they kind of had a miss. You know, they have, what, two games up on the Lions and the Packers, both at 5-4, Vikings at 7-2. No, this is definitely the Vikings division to win, and you know, I think they can have. Now, who's the quarterback? Who's the quarterback in Minnesota? Teddy Bridgewater is better. He was on the sidelines yesterday. Sam Bradford, I don't know what's going on with him, but
IR.
Oh, he's out. He's out. He's done.
Here's my thing. yes, this is their division to win. I know we're not talking about the playoffs. Can Case Keenum win in the playoffs? I don't know. But they will definitely NFC. They will be NFC North champions, Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Wally. Do you think that Minnesota may do the whole Bill O'Brien thing, and are they going to stick with the high hand at Case Keenum? Or like, well, Teddy Bridgewater was our guy. He was our quarterback. They're going to put him back in.
I think when Teddy's right, you know, I mean, it would be within practice. If Zimmer believes in it, you know, he'll make that move. But I think, like anything, it's only natural to go with the hot hand. He played good against the Skins on Sunday in a great game. But, you know, I expect, to be real, which is because you got, like, a track record. Case Keenum to have that terrible game when he's just throwing the ball up, and he almost did against the Skins. If he could have stolen the ball, if he does that, has that game, we've thrown multiple interceptions consistently, then that's Teddy Bridgewater will be right there to take his job. He's one game away, put it that way. It's not like he's allowed to have a clunker. If he has that clunker, I think Teddy Bridgewater is taking the job.
All right. That's like a plan. Before we leave the NFC, Wally, do you have any updates for us for your Redskins thing? Because I know there were some injuries that happened on Sunday, correct?
Nothing terrible. Nothing major. Trent Williams played, which that was surprising. Nothing surprising. They defensively, that's probably the worst defensive game they played all season. Josh Norman Thielen was giving him the business, but he owned up to it. He felt like, you know, he apologized for his play, and that's cool. It's a guy, he's a stand-up guy. And he did. I mean, and he talked about how, you know, he felt like he let his team down in terms of how he played. But, you know, I expect him to bounce back. They got New Orleans Saints in New Orleans next week. I don't think it's a game that no one thinks they're going to win. Just like Seattle, no one thought they were going to win that game. So New Orleans is typically a hard place to play. And if I'm Drew Brees and seeing what I saw against the Minnesota Vikings, how this secondary performed, I'm licking my chops and saying, you know what, I could do damage, but. You know, any given Sunday, we'll see what happens.
All right, cool. And last thing, just wrap up the NFC. Then we're going to tackle just some of the people that we believe can handle things in the AFC. We saw one guy, last name was Claiborne. I'm trying to remember his first name. I don't think it was Morris. But we saw Claiborne.
It wasn't Morris.
Because Morris Claiborne played for the Cowboys.
The cornerback.
I don't remember his
corner. Yeah, I'm sorry.
But
he was
a cornerback. But you know, this is a D lineman, Claiborne, for the Atlanta Falcons. Destroyed. He had like 3 sacks all year last year, I heard. And then he had 6 sacks in this one game. And Smith goes down. One of the good offensive linemen goes down for the Cowboys. They don't offer this guy, this kid, any help. And he's helpless. He is getting destroyed. They don't give him no help or anything. So, curious, this happened after Zeke got his suspension finally, which is probably going to be rescinded again sometime soon. But he finally got his suspension, finally serving his suspension. Are the Cowboys, are they now exposed? Without Zeke, is this what the Cowboys actually will look like without Ezekiel Elliott running the ball? I will start with first Jay Chris on this one because I want to say I want Wally to give me all that fire and brimstone that only a Redskins fan can. So I want to start with Jay Chris because you'll be more mellow. And then I'll let Wally go ahead and burn the bridges down.
Yeah, I'm going to make this quick so Wally can get to his because I want to hear Wally talk on it too. But is this what it's going to be? It very well could be. They're going to make some adjustments. I mean, you know, the fact that one man had 6 sacks in one day is ridiculous. I believe it happened to my Eagles a few years ago against the Giants when Winston Justice came in as a rookie and had to. I think he had to take Jason Peters' position because he went down and it just was ugly. You know, the Cowboys are missing Sean Lee and Ezekiel Elliott. For yesterday's game, and it showed that, you know, that as a team, both all sides of the ball, they just didn't have it. And you know, with that being said, I hope this is what we see from the Cowboys while Zeke is out. I hope this is what we see from the Cowboys for the rest of my life. But you know, that's just
Amen.
Me speaking as a Cowboys hater. That's me speaking as a Cowboys hater. I am an admitted Cowboys hater. I am. I can admit it. So that's how, where I'm going to leave it, because I can't wait to hear what Wally's going to say.
Okay, Wally. Let me go ahead and get my popcorn. All right. Hold on. Okay, I got my popcorn. Let's go.
So they're going to get beat by Atlanta anyway. Like, I hate, like, this whole Zeke thing. They're going to get blown out by Atlanta anyway. It's Atlanta. Atlanta's hard to play at home. Like, you got to go against Julio Jones. Who's going to stop Julio Jones? Who was? This is the same thing they got beat up with. Didn't they have Zeke when they got blown up by the Denver Broncos? Didn't they have Zeke?
They had
Zeke, right? Yeah, exactly. So same old, same old. This, yeah. Like, you playing against a quality, like, regardless of Matt Ryan was struggling, but we all know that he's a quality quarterback. So they had to see a quality quarterback in a hostile environment, and they lost. And if they played, I was telling somebody before, if they played this game in Dallas, they probably would win the game. I won't even lie to you. Even with Zeke being out, the thing that Zeke brings to the team and the reason why they lost is because Zeke brings confidence. It's not even about, like, actually, like, what the ability of Zeke, because, again, I believe that the O-line is the MVP of that offense, the way they, you know, create holes or whatnot. If Zeke makes them believe, you can give Alpha Morris the ball. Will he be as explosive as Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott? No, he won't. But can he give you 100 yards within that offensive line? Yeah, he can. So you need – Dak needs a run game. He can still have a run game with Alfred Morris. He can. It's the issue is that the team doesn't believe when Zeke's not in the game. So if they want to quit because Zeke's not there, then they're a bunch of quitters and losers. That's on them. And that's on Jason Jason Garrett as the head coach and the players. Because one man wasn't there, they decided, okay, it's over. Let's just ship it in. Atlanta's going to beat us. That's on them, and that's on that organization. On the flip side, Dez Bryant, where you at? You're supposed to be number one wide receiver. You bark that you could take on the Josh Normans of the world. You could take on the Jenkins of the world. You could take on the Patrick Petersons of the world. But when the number one cornerback's check is on you, you look like a regular third wide receiver. You don't even look elite. And this is a dude that I kind of bumped when he was in Oklahoma State. Actually, I like Dez Bryant. I thought he was a talented kid. But you know what? He's underachieved. He's not elite. He's not the dude he's supposed to be. He rocks 88. For what? I don't even like Michael Irvin. That's the best 88 period by far. You're disgracing 88. Let's keep it 100. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to, like, you're going to tote that line, your team needs you to step up. You ain't doing it. You ain't being
hey,
a man, Diz.
Wally, I'm going to let you continue. I'm going to let you finish. But
yeah.
I just want to say that just in case Dez is listening, you know, I just want to remind Wally that they are playing the Eagles next week. Okay?
I'm going to say this,
tone down the personal attacks on Dez Bryant.
That's not a personal attack. I like
until
this.
After next week.
I like this. I'm going to tell you this, though. Dez is so non-elite right now that you can put a safety in Malcolm Jenkins on him. I think Malcolm Jenkins will shut him down. We're talking about a safety on a wide receiver. That's how Dez is playing the wide receiver.
I hope you're not listening, Dez.
That's all I'm like. That's when he needs to step up. You know what I mean? Like Vaughn, you
know,
Cowboy fan.
I hope Dez is listening. I hope he asks us. I hope he asks Solon Sports. I hope he tells us what he's feeling. And on Friday or sometime during the week, we'd be more than happy to go ahead and have a sit down and explain why we feel the way we feel, because this is the barbershop. We trust nothing but truth up here. We don't hide. We don't sit here behind a big TV screen behind four letters and yell at you, but really you know that we're your friend and pump. No, we're going to tell you what it is on the show and tell you what it is to your face, because unlike everybody else who want to put some backstabbers in you, we don't need to do
that.
We truth about all.
I disagree.
We truth about
all. We can do that on Monday.
Who do you trust to really wrap up the divisions? Who would you say if you could do your picks from the beginning of the year, you could redo them right now? Who's winning their respective divisions? Who do you trust most right now to win the division? Let's start with, say, the NFC East. Who do you trust more so than anybody right now?
You should start
with
the NFC East.
Hey, Wally, who do you think is going to win the – let's start – based on what we've seen so far, this halfway – pretty much the halfway point through the season, who do you trust to wrap up the division for the NFC East?
Oh, I think it's the Eagles. I mean, hands down, I ain't think that's even – like hard to just, you know, to really like really distinguish. Like, this team has been a more consistent team. You already see with the Cowboys, Zeke being suspended, that's gonna hurt them. The Redskins injuries and, you know, not being playing consistent. The Eagles have been, they already wrapped, they have a nice little lead in terms of the division and also a division game. So I got the Eagles right now wrapping up the division.
I also go Eagles. I'm also Eagles for everything that Wilder just said.
I'm going to have to go Eagles. You got to go Eagles right now. You know, they have at least two games on every team. At least two games on every team in the NFC East. So right, you got to go with the Eagles in the NFC East right now. Absolutely.
All right.
I just don't like to say it, guys. I'm sorry. I just don't like to say it.
You don't have to. It's okay.
I don't like saying it.
We're not counting this for you as a fan. So whatever kind of ethereal, you know, things that try to affect game outcomes, Jay Chris is only using this as an analytical point of fact, not as an Eagles fan. So you can leave him alone, okay? We're only analyzing what the Eagles have done. Only that. That's all we're doing, okay? Make sure they know that because, you know, sometimes those guys, you got to make sure we appease them, all right? So that's the NFC East. NFC South. It's starting to look a lot like, I mean, Tampa Bay, I thought Tampa Bay was going to do it. By the way I see things now, it's a scrummy
day, but I don't want to do that on Friday. Okay?
You ain't going to do that on Friday?
I don't want to do that on Friday. I can do it Monday. I don't want to do it on Friday.
I'm just saying. He just needs to step up, man. All that talking back in the day, he thought he was better than Megatron. That was a joke. I'm just saying, like, dude, be that dude, man. Be that dude. I saw Oklahoma State. That's all I'm gonna say. Be that dude. I saw Oklahoma State. Be that dude.
All right.
Not a two route wide receiver. The slant and go. I don't want to stick of seeing that, man. You better than that.
Okay. Well, with that being said, let's go ahead and wrap up the AFC. We're going to be a little quicker on that one because I want everyone to talk about the college football playoff and just the layout of where it is now and where we are with number one and number three going down the way they went down. So AFC, we have Patriots leading their division, Chiefs leading their division, Steelers leading their division, and the Tennessee Titans and Jaguars, as pointed out earlier, are tied for the lead in their division. So who do we believe is going to get caught? Who do we believe is going to be locked up? I think Patriots got their stuff locked up because the Bills, it's something weird. Like, the Bills will start off good, and then when they finally play the Jets, they lose, and then they all of a sudden just stink. Miami Dolphins, I don't believe in them anyway. The Jets actually have four wins. I'm actually surprised they won four times. But I don't think anybody's catching New England. I can see a scenario where Raiders make a good run. But I don't believe, especially after this bye week, because Andy Reid is the king of bye weeks, that after this bye week, when the Chiefs come off of, that they're going to be able to catch the Chiefs. So I think Patriots and Chiefs are going to do their thing. The rest of the AFC North has been trash. And trash in the sense that it doesn't seem like anyone knows how to play offense. And even when the Pittsburgh Steelers know how to play offense and figure it out, it's still kind of lackluster. They've been winning games by being nasty, gritty Pittsburgh Steelers type teams, which is good, you know, and they really haven't been beating people explosively, consistently. Titans and Jaguars, I didn't buy in at first, guys.
Because I think everybody carries his bags, and he's being catered to. Because he got that 1 year contract, he got that contract that he didn't deserve. And when I'm not even gonna go there right now. It's for another show. Colin Kaepernick was on the market. But I'm gonna go with the Jaguars. I think the Titans have more experience. But I think this is the Jaguars. Yeah, I think they're riding high right now. Going with the Jaguars there, they won three straight. The Titans won four straight. Okay. Get my Herm Edwards on. They won four straight now. But I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I'm going to go with the Steelers. I'm going with the Chiefs because I just, you know, the Raiders, you know, I was big on the Raiders previous to this season, before the season started, and I just, you know, I'm not seeing it anymore. I'm not seeing what I thought I would see. So I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs, and I'm going to have to go with the Patriots. I think it's pretty cut and dry there. The only thing is the South with the Jaguars and the Titans, like you said. But I'm going with the Jaguars. Mike, I'm siding with you on that one. I'm going with the Jaguars there.
Sound like a plan. What you got? Who you the guy? Now, look, I purposely talked more about the NFC East because there's more compelling competition. like Jay Chris stated earlier, it's like watching the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference. Like, yeah, I mean, they got teams in the AFC right now, but let's be honest. So okay, Wally, how do you see the current division leaders? Do you believe in them right now?
I think you got the Steelers. Obviously, I think they got that division locked up. Steelers. You got the. I think the Kansas City Chiefs have their division locked up. I do think the Raiders will make a run, but it'll be too late. I think Jacksonville Jaguars. I like Jacksonville. I like their style of football. To me, it's conducive to winning football. I've always stated, like, if you look at what Seattle has done, the San Francisco 49ers when they had Jim Harbaugh, some of these other teams, like the mold of football in terms of how they play, good, solid defense. I mean, a really good defense, not just solid, one of the better defenses in football, good running game, and then you got a quarterback that you tell him, let's manage the game, don't mess anything up. And, you know, yes, on Sunday he stepped up when he had to throw the ball. So I like what Jacksonville is doing. I think Tennessee Titans are built the same way, kind of like with Mariota. You know, people look at Marcus Mariota, but that team is run by their offense is run by their run game with Henry and with Murray. So when I look at – those two teams are tough, but I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I just like what they have defensively a little bit more. I like the secondary. I think that their secondary puts them over the top with that D-line. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville. And that's what I got. But Chiefs, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. Who am I missing? Oh, the Patriots. That's easy. That's easy money.
Patriots.
That's easy money.
Easy
money. That's like playing – they're in the major leagues. They're playing against minor league teams. That's what it is. Easy money.
That's messed up, man. All those guys are professionals still in the AFC East. They're professional. They get paid to be professional anyway.
They get paid. That's good. I mean, Miley players get paid too. It's all good, man. It's all good. You know what I mean?
They do.
You can say
they do.
You can say
that
like
they do.
They play. I'm sorry. They play in a regular season. Those dudes are exhibition. I think that sounds better.
Okay, that's okay. So yeah. So they play like it's in preseason. They play it like it's a regular. Okay, I got you. That works. So, gentlemen, the AP poll is, let's see, make sure I have it right here. The AP poll came out. Alabama's 1. The U is 2. Oklahoma is 3. And Clemson is still rounding out the 4th spot. And Wisconsin, the third undefeated team, there's only 3 of them. They're still on the outside looking in. They beat Iowa and beat them convincingly, but they're number 5. Auburn took out Georgia, so they knocked out Georgia, the number 1 team, and they're number 6. Georgia being knocked out went all the way down to number 7. Ohio State with a win with the shellacking of Michigan State is the shellacking. I mean, they shellacked them. Michigan State, they are number 8. Notre Dame with their loss to Miami. Is now number 9, and Oklahoma State is now number 10 with their win over Iowa State, which is, I mean, it's not really a win. I mean, it's like the Big 12 don't understand how to play defense. I can't trust a team. I can't trust a team in the division that thinks defense is an option and not actually part of your football game. But, all right, gentlemen, so we have the top 4, Alabama, the U, Oklahoma, Clemson. There's talk right now that Wisconsin can get left out of the top 4 of the final 4 and that Ohio State, of all people, can leapfrog either Miami or Oklahoma or Clemson. They probably won't leapfrog Oklahoma, but they can probably leapfrog Clemson or Miami and Wisconsin, two other undefeated teams, to get into the college football playoff if things work out, because their latter part of their resume, if they beat or the way Jim Harbaugh's been playing them when they beat Michigan, and if they beat Wisconsin in the championship game, then they would have the resume, quote unquote, necessary to be one of the first 2 lost teams to get into the college football playoff. Gentlemen, I'm curious. Do you see a scenario where it makes logical sense that Ohio State with 2 losses will be able to jump Miami, Oklahoma, or Clemson? I just 2 through 4, because we already know they ain't jumping to Alabama.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, their schedule has been weak. The losses were weak. The team they lost to Oklahoma, what makes it bad. It makes it hard for them because they lost to Oklahoma. Then you have that bad loss. Like they lost to Iowa, I believe. They lost to Iowa, right?
Yeah, Iowa annihilated them. They got annihilated by Iowa.
Which I don't understand why they're still ahead of Penn State after that.
Yeah. I think that loss was too bad because they lost it. Only because, you know, they're trying to do because they lost to Penn State because they beat Penn State. But that loss alone is just too bad to overcome to make them into – put them in the playoffs. I don't think they have a chance, to be honest with you, at all. But it sounds good because they're Ohio State and everybody wants to talk about them. But I think once the last day goes down and the committee will decide on what happens in terms of strength of schedule and poor losses, that's going to knock them out. That Iowa loss was it. You know, especially if you're a two-loss team, you lost to two good teams, then, yeah, we can have that argument and say, you know what, they lost to two good teams, and that's what kind of hindered them from getting – that's okay, that, then we can kind of give them a reason to put them in. But Iowa was horrible. It was a horrible team. And then, again, you lost that win in terms of head-to-head matchup. You lost to Oklahoma, at home. You know what I mean? Which makes it worse. You lost at home. So I don't look at Ohio State as a team that has a real easy chance to get into the dance, even if certain things fall their way.
So you're saying that Ohio State would need a lot of help right now in order to even sniff
help.
That?
They need too much hit. Too much help.
They're gonna need after Notre Dame got knocked off by Miami, they're gonna need Miami to lose to Clemson on their December 12th game. That's to be determined right now. They would need Miami to lose to Clemson for that to happen, and then Miami will be instantly knocked out because the majority of Miami's schedule. Until those last two wins, the majority of Miami's schedule was okay, but yeah, there was a lot of teams that they played that wasn't really, you know,
that's
considered.
True. But
well.
Even at that, so but even with that though, Michael,
yeah,
even
go
with
ahead.
That though, you're right though. But even with that though, like that's one loss, and then the way they beat a really good Notre Dame team. Like Notre Dame was playing really top flight football till they played Miami. So even within all that, it's only one loss compared to some of the bad losses that. Ohio State, because even though you still have to justify Ohio State being over Miami, because Ohio State's schedule isn't strong. The Big Ten has been weak. So the teams they beat in the Big Ten haven't been impressive.
Okay, well, I can see that. Jay Chris, you have anything to add to that in regards to maybe Ohio State figuring out a way to somehow they leapfrog all these other teams, like? Because really, at the end of the day,
let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
If Ohio State makes it into this playoff, it's BS. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Exactly.
It's total BS
exactly.
If they make it into this
exactly.
playoff. If they somehow weasel their way into this playoff, I will not watch college football ever again.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you that right now. until they come up with a playoff system that includes more than eight teams, maybe. Okay? If they make it, I will never.
Hold on, you mean the playoff system? You mean the playoff system that Division I AA does already?
Exactly. If they do
that
it like 2014, that,
the 2014 one that James Madison won. Yeah, it's the easiest thing to set up if you actually know how to actually do business.
I watched James Madison win it. I've watched Villanova win it. I've watched UD win it. Did they win it? I think they lost it, maybe. It's fun to watch, man. It's good football. CAA football, Division I, AA football is fun to watch. But if Ohio State
North Dakota State like won three in a row.
Yes, they did.
North Dakota State, they went to four in a row
calling,
after they won three.
I'm calling shenanigans. If Ohio State gets in there. For one, like I know Wally said, you know, Ohio State, the way Ohio State lost that game to Iowa, Penn State should be ranked ahead of Ohio State. They just should. Also, I don't think Ohio State should be, and I don't like Notre Dame at all. I've never liked Notre Dame. I don't think Ohio State should be ranked above Notre Dame. I think that's BS as well. Now, Wisconsin, I don't think they're really a playoff team. I think they're having a good season. I mean, they probably deserve to be in the top four, but I don't think they can make any noise. And if the playoffs were to start and they were in it, I don't think they can make any noise. With that being said, Alabama number one, Miami number two. With Clemson at number four, I got Oklahoma number three. You got Clemson at number four. Miami and Clemson are going to cancel each other out if they end up playing ACC championship game. They're going to cancel each other.
Yes, sir.
Somebody else is going to jump in there. Will it be, you know, Georgia and Alabama? I think could and no, I guess it wouldn't be
Georgia lost
Alabama,
to Auburn.
Maybe be right. I
guess
yeah.
So Georgia lost to Auburn.
If Auburn beats
Alabama, they'll play Georgia again in the SEC championship game.
Right. Exactly. So
because Georgia already lost their division.
There's some variables, but I'm gonna tell you right now, if Ohio State gets in there, it's BS. So Wisconsin could actually get in there as a Big Ten champion. They could get in there because, like I said, I think Clemson and Miami cancel each other out. I don't think they'll let two ACC teams in. Alabama, you know, let's say they stay undefeated. Oklahoma still has to play Texas, and I know Texas ain't that good, but that's always, you know, a big game. Okay.
Texas has been the only team in the Big 12 that's been playing something called defense. I mean, granted, they've been losing, but, I mean, you see an actual defense with Texas. So I got to give Tom Herman at least that much.
They're playing defense. They're playing defense, but they don't have the record to be notable. So that's why I'm saying they're not all that great. You know, we'll see what happens with Oklahoma. And honestly, I believe Ohio State is in the top eight just so the voters can finagle a way to get them into the playoff, which they do not deserve to be in. You can move TCU up there. You can move Oklahoma State up there a little bit. You know, Georgia probably shouldn't be seven, okay? But and Auburn probably – you know, shouldn't be. Auburn's probably about right. So, look.
Well, you know, Jay Chris Hugo actually was put in the chat, and he's actually on right now. He said that when it comes to the two lost teams, that Auburn is the best looking of all the two lost teams currently. And Hugo, you said the best looking. What do you mean, Hugo?
I think out of all the two lost teams, you know, it definitely could. It definitely is Auburn, especially out of Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, TCU, USC, Penn State. I mean, I know, I think Auburn definitely does look good, especially after, you know, them wiping the floor out with Georgia. The only issue with that, and Auburn can't make it into the top four or into the final four, because remember, they still got to play Alabama. And that's gonna that as we know, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough for Auburn to actually get in there. I'll be honest with you though, Jay Chris, man. What you were talking about, Ohio State, the College Football Playoff Committee trying to get Ohio State. It's always like this every damn year with those damn Buckeyes, man. Oh,
yeah, you're absolutely right.
Every year they get bounced out, with exception of that one. With exception of the first year, every year they get bounced out, with exception of the first year where they had an advantage and no one knew their
foot. But for some reason, like the committee always has to have Ohio State in the top four. I don't know what's up with that. I mean, is it because they need a Big Ten representative? I don't know, man. But I mean, Ohio State don't deserve to be up there. I agree with Jay Chris. I think Notre Dame, even after that battering against Miami, they definitely deserve to be ahead of Ohio State.
Over Ohio State, exactly. Over Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Yeah, over Ohio State, absolutely.
Like that loss to Iowa to me should have been over. Like it should have been over. Like we,
right.
They
should
have been in discussion. Like, yeah, I don't care if they beat – again, you beat Penn State, a divisional team, Penn State, at home. Like, yeah, that's what happens usually when you play. And for real, if Penn State didn't – and that's not to be mean, if they didn't choke that game away, you don't beat Penn State. Like, and that's on you. And you're supposed to you're supposed to be competitive. You know what I mean? Like, so that win, in all honesty, it's a solid win, but it shouldn't propel you to keep you in the top 10 because that's a win – that if you're Ohio State, you're playing at home in a tough venue, you're supposed to kind of win that game. And again, Penn State choked that game away for you to win that game. And then you flip around and get blown out by Iowa. So to me, you're not a good team. Like it's not like you're a waste of a playoff team because you're going to play in a neutral site and you're going to get beat by a really good team. And people are going to say, well, you shouldn't have been there. Like, so no, they shouldn't even be in the conversation. Like they shouldn't even be in the conversation. Like a team like TCU is better off than Ohio State, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Ohio State isn't that good. They're not that good. Like the court. And if you look at the teams, they would have to play in the playoff. Barrett would get embarrassed. Like Barrett's a joke as a quarterback. Like it's like what they bring to the table isn't like amazing. This is not even the most talented Ohio State team in terms of having pro talent. It's not even the most talented one. I'm talking, and I'm a Michigan fan, and I can be honest. Like, I've seen Ohio State. Like, last year's team was super talented. Now, granted, the quarterback play wasn't good. They were super talented. Like, this team isn't as talented as last year's team.
Hey, Wally, Wally, I got a question for you. You think if Wisconsin were to beat Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Miami and Clemson do cancel each other out in the ACC championship game. Is Wisconsin deserving of that top four?
No, because Michigan's not even strong this year. Like this isn't even the same Michigan year from a team from last year because it's Michigan and the Jim Harbaugh team. Yes, Michigan may be one of the 20th best teams in college football, but is that enough to make you warranted to be in the top five? You know what I mean? Like, no. Like, Michigan's defense has been up and down. They haven't been as consistent as people wanted them to be. They started off good in the beginning of the season, and their quarterback play is horrendous. You know what I mean? Like, now
I thought it was going to be – I said that Deshaun Watson starting, that Houston Texans was going to win the division. It was looking like my pick was going to work, and then he got hurt. So if I had to trust anybody right now, honestly, I'm trusting the running game and the defense of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm trusting them over Marcus Mariota, as one Roger Goodell called him. I'm going Jags. I'm going Steelers. I'm going Chiefs, and I'm going Patriots to wrap up the divisions. Who wants to argue with me?
Man, you said you're going Jags, right?
Yeah, that's the only one. That's the only one that I know can actually have a real argument. The other three, I don't really think anybody's catching them. I think it's pretty solid.
Let me put my fan hat back on, okay? And I can remember a couple years ago, one Mike Knox and myself to a degree, we're big on Marcus Mariota. Coming to Philly. He's going to be Philly's next quarterback. Blah, blah, blah. Let me just say, I am so glad that we did not end up with Marcus Mariota, because then we wouldn't have Carson Wentz. I'm just saying. But if I'm going through this AFC, I mean, the AFC is kind of like status quo right now. Am I correct? You got the Titans and Jaguars are the only two teams that are really going to be battling out for the top spot in their division. Steelers, they'll take it. I think the Chiefs will take it because the Raiders have kind of fallen by the wayside. The Chargers with that overrated quarterback, Phillip Rivers, who I say is overrated every year. I say he's overrated because he always lets me down in fantasy every year that I've drafted him in fantasy. Patriots, nobody's catching the Patriots because the Bills, you know, they've just kind of fallen by the wayside. The Jets with their hot start fell by the wayside. The Dolphins, they have what's their quarterback's name, Wally? Dolphins quarterback. Jay Cutler. They have Jay Cutler at quarterback, and you guys know I don't believe in Jay Cutler.
Hey, Butler.
He is a Butler.
I didn't have to go to the young guy. So I'm just saying, like, in all honesty, like, even like the Big Ten sucks this year. Let's just be real. Like, it sucks. Like, it really sucks this year. All right. So, like, that's like the Big Ten shouldn't have a representative. Like, they shouldn't. Like, they shouldn't have a representative. Like, they shouldn't. Like, they shouldn't, and they're going to try to because they want every conference, every major conference to be represented. But, like, it sucks. Like, the Big Ten, I'm bad for, like, the SEC to, like, say, you know what, a Big Ten team may get in because, you know, and we have to go through the gauntlet of playing real college football. But to be honest with you, the Big Ten shouldn't have a representative. Like, it's like they don't deserve it at all.
Oh, my gosh, that was – man, yo, Wally, we're going to run this by Knox, right? Because, you know, we come up with random stuff when he's not here. He's not listening right now. He's not spying on us. So he was spying on us earlier. He was like, hey, what you talking about? Like, no, it's my show. It's my bush, Knox. But anyway, we got to have a segment with Wally. It's a popcorn Wally. Grab your popcorn. And listen up. Grab your popcorn and listen up to Wally, yo.
Wally's rants.
Grab your popcorn. Don't hide your kids or hide your wife. All right, guys. But look, before we do anything else, we're going to go ahead and I'm trying to make sure my technology works because we're going to be going into some wrestling talk. But the main thing is we gotta do the one thing that we always do. And you know, with Mike Knox, we gotta sing it. You know how it goes. You know how we gotta do it. And I don't even know if the song's coming up. It don't like me. I'm trying to do the best around, and it's like, nah, we're good.
We need a new board, man. We got bugs in our board and whatnot. Hey, Fox Sports. We need a new board. Get us some new equipment, Fox.
Need a new board.
Thank you.
Wait, well, watch this though. We got it. I know none of y'all think at all. That's nuts. Wally, best and worst of the weekend, sir.
Best of the weekend will have to be. I'm gonna use it sport. In turn, non-sports related. My boy Brian got married on Friday, so went to a wedding. Got to hang out a bunch of my college mates. Yeah, congratulations, B. Worst of the weekend. Yeah, I guess easy. It'll probably be the Redskins losing the way they lost the Minnesota Vikings. I felt like they played their worst defensive game. So I'm gonna say that's the worst of the weekend sports wise.
That's the worst of the weekend, Jay Chris.
Well, first I'm going to say this. I'm going to ask Micah a question. And Hugo and Wally, you can chime in on this as well. When that Monday after I got married, was I the best of the weekend when Wally's best of the weekend?
Because I wasn't there. Real people say real things. That's the truth. If I was there, it would be.
I think
Mike did say that you were the best of the weekend. You're getting married. I think he did.
Thank you, Mike. All credit. Thank you, Mike Knox. I appreciate it.
If I was there, Watt, you know, he would have been the best of the weekend, dog. Because I would have got drunk and everything. You would have been the best of the weekend.
Hey, UMES is in the building, baby. UMES is in the building.
You know it.
Best of the worst of the weekend for me, you know, I had it all, every week I have it all prepared. I see something, I'm like, oh, that's going to be the best of the weekend for me. I'm just going to go with the easy one for me. Best of the weekend was Dallas Cowboys going down the way they did and Notre Dame going down the way they did. You know, two teams I just don't like. The worst of the weekend for me was the Sixers losing games all weekend long. They lost to the Sacramento Kings. They lost to the Golden State Warriors.
Ooh.
Just, oh my goodness, it was just terrible. I was downtrodden for the whole weekend. Even though the Sacramento Kings game wasn't on the weekend, still, I still got to use it. It's part of it, okay? But, you know, they'll play the Lakers on Wednesday night. You know, I'll be talking to you, Wally. I think I'm going to have to order those wings on Wednesday. Actually,
okay.
I bought some wings from the store. You can still wait. But, yeah, that's my best and the worst of the weekend, man.
Hey, question. Hey, Jay Chris, real quick, Jay Chris. Y'all pissed me off that y'all be playing Jahlil Okafor. I don't get that. Like, I'm really. Is this a business thing?
Okay.
They're trying to train him because it makes no sense.
Let me go by what I've been hearing, and it really makes no sense to me either. But here's a few things from what I've been hearing here in Philadelphia. Part of it is a business thing, yes. Part of it is him not fitting the system as far as, you know, them being a running team. And
uh-huh.
Okafor can't really run. He's a pure back-to-the-basket guy. He's a Patrick Ewing
like
type
that,
of guy.
But Wesley don't run like Embiid ain't fast. Ain't like Embiid's running.
No, he's not fast, but he runs. He will run with the offense. And he's somewhat of a threat at the 3-point line, which is enough to bring the defender out.
Okay,
because he can just run to the 3-point line and stop. Jahlil Okafor, uh-huh. He's not going to stop at the 3-point. No point. Okay.
Yeah.
He can play. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't think he's part of this team in the future, and they want to develop guys like Rashawn Holmes because Rashawn Holmes can ball, and you know, of course Embiid can ball, and you know it's just a logjam at the big spot because Jahlil can't play the four, and Embiid can't play the four. So,
but Amir Johnson,
Amir
Johnson over Okafor, at least on your bench as your second.
Yeah, I thought that was dumb. I thought that was the dumbest
saying.
Thing I've seen from the Sixers all year. But
I mean,
I guess that's what it is. I guess that's what
uh-huh.
it is. So. He'll be great for his next team. He'll be great for his next team. But he went to Duke anyway,
process.
So whatever.
Well, let me go ahead and smack mine in there. Worst of the weekend for me, actually. Worst of the weekend was I cooked and prepared some beef stew. And I haven't been able to eat it yet because I've been so busy doing 15 other things. I will be having my beef stew tonight. Oh, yes. I will be having my beef stew. What cornbread? No, excuse me. Cornbread. What cornbread? I will be having my beef stew and cornbread tonight. Best of the weekend.
Show me a picture,
outside right? The Cowboys. Just kidding. Outside the Cowboys losing, which is always fantastic. Sorry, Vaughn. Not sorry. I got my hands. Some of y'all may have seen it on social media, but I got my hands on one, baby. I waited out you people who were charging $140, $150, $185. You thought that they weren't making more, but they made more. And sure enough, I got my Super Nintendo Classic, and you can suck it. Try to make me pay all that money for goddamn going to games and stuff that I love and grew up with. Now that's how it goes down, darn it. And I got it, and it's mine. I haven't played it yet either. I haven't been here playing yet because I've been so busy. But I'm playing it tonight. So, speaking of tonight, we got wrestling talk to do. Gentlemen, Hugo, we're going to go ahead and knock this out. Wally, J. Chris, see ya!
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Mike Knox.
No idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday Night Stats for Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the rest.
But Mike Knox ain't here, so I'm the one who's yelling now. I'm just kidding. Hugo, you was on Perfect Flex Radio the other night, right? Man, please. I want to say give me a rundown on what happened, but I ain't going to worry about it. We'll talk about that later. We are up against the clock, and I'm not going to take long what we got to talk about because it was so much football this weekend, so much awesome things going on with the world of sports when it comes to football that I wrestling had to take a little bit of a step back. But tonight and tomorrow night is Raw and SmackDown's go-home shows for Survivor Series, and Raw is going to be bringing back Roman Reigns. Roman, I'm halfway dead. Hey, look, you may not like Roman Reigns. Look, if you are a person who is a Roman Reigns hater, you don't like his in-ring skills, you don't like his mic skills, if you're like me, you don't like the way he's been booked, and he's been booked in an unbelievable way, so he wasn't really behind him in some of his runs. The one thing that you should never wish on somebody is ill will and death, okay? That virus that he got is a life-threatening illness, a life-threatening virus that he caught. And so, you know, for him to, one, survive it, and two, be healthy enough to come back in such a short time, I applaud him. I'm happy that he's coming back. I personally would have kept him away. You know, you figure something else out to do, I would have kept him away for at least another week or so, make sure he's good and well rested up. But, hey, he wants to go ahead and be the company guy. They're going to try to, you know, they got the rocket ship strapped on his back. Okay, cool. So he's coming back tonight. We're going to hear Paul Heyman actually compliment another opponent and not just bury an opponent because AJ Styles got the championship belt, which I have to see that match again. It's just a laugh. They're going to talk about, you know, how Team Raw is going to do something against John Cena, which it is what it is. No one really cares. And there's going to be a triple threat match to determine the final member of the Raw Women's Survivor Series squad. And a little bird, and Vaughn, you can tweet this, a little bird I heard called Ollie Davis from WrestleTalk TV is reporting from other resources that supposedly there's going to be a fourth member there. A fourth member is going to be a fatal four-way, and it's going to be a young lady that you and I both know very well, Hugo. We know her very well. Her name's Paige.
Oh, very well.
Her name's Paige, bro. That was Bay before I met Bay. So before I met my real Bay. So just saying. Not just Super Saiyan, just saying. So and then Kane, of course, doing his thing against Braun Strowman, with Braun Strowman coming out of the garbage can like Kane would be resurrected from a cemetery. So Hugo, this week in wrestling, what's your expectations, bro? What's your expectations for this go home show tonight?
Well, hopefully something better than what we saw in the UK last week. Because as we talked about it yesterday in Perk Radio, those UK shows are are abysmal. I mean, no disrespect to our UK fans or our UK, you know, our listeners from the UK. They just lack, man. They lack obviously a lot of passion. So hopefully we get a strong show tonight. You say Roman Reigns is coming back. That's cool. I want to see what they're going to do with Roman Reigns, because obviously it's looking like it's going to be the New Day versus the Shield, and obviously it's going to be a 3-on-3, so they need Roman Reigns back for this match. I want to see how they're going to incorporate Roman Reigns back tonight. I'm also expecting to see what's going to happen with Paige. I mean, if it's true, it's Paige is coming back. Again, take it as a grain of salt, because they are the dirt sheets. And again, she's always been in hot water, but the WWE could definitely use Paige, because Paige, regardless of how mentally unstable she might be, she's a fantastic woman, Micah. You and I both know that.
She's not mentally unstable. Now, AJ Lee was actually literally mentally unstable, and she figured out and she has overcome her flaws. But you know, if I was single and she was single, I'll take a bipolar AJ Lee. I'm fine with that. I'll be more than happy.
I'm also looking forward to seeing, is John Cena going to be on SmackDown, by the way, or is he going to be? Yeah, he's going to be on SmackDown this Tuesday, isn't he?
Well, John Cena's going to be on Team SmackDown, but I wouldn't be surprised if they try to do some kind of, you know, some kind of angle where he shows up and whatever have you. I don't know, but you know, I mean, the team.
It'll be cool.
No, I'm just saying the team got Braun Strowman, Balor, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Jason Jordan, and Angle. So they already got their five. I mean, yeah. is this going to be like when it comes to the Survivor Series thing? Are we going to be? Oh man, you know what? I really hope. I know this is kind of long-term booking down the line, not to get too distracted, but I really hope that Braun Strowman eliminates Cena. I really hope it happens. I just hope it has to, because John Cena is the biggest name in the company still. So when Roman Reigns beat John Cena, cool. You need to have someone else who's a secondary legitimate guy, so that way you have more than just one guy, because remember what happened under John Cena? You had that one guy you kept pushing. You didn't have multiple people that you should have trusted and to give longer runs to. Yeah, your ratings fell a lot. A lot of people left. Okay. Oh, revenues mean nothing when you factor in inflation and cost. Okay. So you can say what you want to. People know numbers. People actually study this stuff. But anyway, me personally, I really want to see. I know Mike Knox says hashtag death to dirt sheets. I just really want to see if Paige comes back. That would be a fantastic addition. You know, supposedly she's single. That, out of her own words, she said she was single. And so maybe the distraction that would have kept her away from WWE and a bigger paycheck is now gone. She's healthy. She's been clear to wrestle for, I think, a couple of weeks now, 2-3 weeks right now. So that would be right. Something to really, really look forward to. I'm still figuring out. I gotta give Raw credit. They took a girl who I thought was never going to really be relevant ever again and actually made her relevant, at least for this one match, Alicia Fox. And they made her, like, she's the crazy black chick with poodle hair. I don't know, but it's strange. It's whatever. But at least they're making her relevant. So I got to give them that much.
You know what, though? I wouldn't be surprised.
What's up?
Really quick, Micah. I wouldn't be surprised if she's the one that gets eliminated first, by the way.
Who? Oh, who? Alicia Fox?
Yeah.
Oh no, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if she's the first one to get eliminated. She's the weakest one in the group. She has the weakest star power. They gave her the Jinder Mahal treatment. They try to push her very, very well so that she looks more credible than she actually is. But okay, so we got the match we wanted. We got the match that us wrestling fans actually want. And I want to wrap up with this. Then we'll go ahead and bug out. We got the wrestling match that we actually care for. A guy who knows how to wrestle. Who's really good, and all of last year in 2016 was the best wrestler in the world, hands down. Yes, he was with the WWE, but right before he got with the WWE, he was kicking butt and taking names in other promotions. And he, one being AJ Styles, is going to be going against Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar, you know, Paul Heyman's going to have some words for him. What are you expecting? How they're going to set up this go home this match? For their go-home show between AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar.
No, I wouldn't doubt what you're saying. I mean, AJ Styles is definitely the best wrestler in the company. I think Paul Heyman will come out and praise Brock, excuse me, twice AJ Styles like he did Samoa Joe. That's what you're going to see out of it. However, man, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what's up with the WWE. I know people didn't want Jinder Mahal to be champion. I know Jinder Mahal, people think, they think that he's not deserving. But they built Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal for quite an amount of time, and now we're here. It's not even Jinder Mahal in the title match. Excuse me, in the champion versus champion match. So it's kind of weird. I just want to see how they're gonna go ahead and portray that in these next two nights, because they got to give some sort of storyline. Same thing with the bar against the Usos. So we'll see. But I think we're going to see, obviously, a lot of praising, and then obviously saying we're going to take it to Suplex City, and that's all that's going to happen tonight.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, hey, we got to get up out of here, folks. We are up against that time there. But you want to know something? I appreciate everything and everybody who has helped me out on the show today. I love it when Mike Knox gives me the reins, not the Roman Reigns, but the reins to be able to take care of it. Here you go. Thank you very much. Thank you to Jay Chris. Thank you to Wally Wild. I am M.E. Richmond. I'm that guy with no chill, and I got the skills that pays the bills. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here. We'll see you Friday for Lock It Up. Ooh, and we're going to have a lot to lock up that weekend. We out of here, folks. Peace.
Peace.
Listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life, because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dreams sweepstakes, where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York, by USAA Life Insurance Company of New York, Highland Falls, New York.